the studios of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our relationship with it. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak. Thanks for tuning in.
And joining us today is Noah Materko, a policy associate with HEAL Utah, and he's here to talk with us today about the solar export credit, why it's up for discussion, and how that would impact solar development here in Utah. So Noah, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chris and Nell, for having me.
Super. Well, let's start with some background information. I'm curious, right here, what percentage of, do you happen to know, what percentage of Rocky Mountain Power customers are on solar systems in one form or another?
Yeah, so right now there are about 36,000 rooftop solar customers in this rate schedule in Rocky Mountain Power service area. And now that is a lot, and it's been growing, but it's still less than 2% of those customers of customers overall.
Wow, just 2%. But there's a lot of opportunity for growth here, let's say.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen this summer, or if you've spent much time in Utah, you know how sunny it is. We have a tremendous solar resource. And, you know, we've got a lot of roofs, we've got a lot of roof space and some open land that would be great to help utilize that as well. So, you know, at issue with this is the ability for regular Utahns to be able to utilize that resource instead of just the utility being able to utilize that.
Right. I want to supplement what you said with an article in this morning's Salt Lake Tribune. At one point, they talk about an analysis done by the advocacy group Vote Solar. It says Rocky Mountain Power solar customers generated, their solar customers generated a total of 406 million kilowatt hours in 2019. That exported power, or this power that's put onto the grid, represents approximately 2% of the utility's production that year, which totaled 23.7 billion kilowatt hours. So it's not a big, like you say, it's not a huge percentage of solar power that's being put out onto the grid, which Rocky Mountain Power provides credit for. Now, what is that credit that they're providing for right now with respect to solar exporters?
So the export credit rate, that is really just what a solar customer is compensated for the excess grid or the excess power that they push out onto the grid.
Right.
So currently that is about 9.4 cents per kilowatt hour. And when you hear the phrase net metering thrown around, that's what the rate structure for rooftop solar in Utah used to be. But that just means that customers would be credited at the average retail utility rate, which is around 10 cents per kilowatt hour. So that 9.4 cents per kilowatt hour is a bit lower. But that compensation rate is really what makes rooftop solar a good investment or not. So at the current rate, when a customer invests in a solar array on their roof, usually under 10 kilowatts or so, that solar array will probably last 25 or 30 years or so. And they can expect to be able to pay that off, that investment off, in between 9 and 12 years, depending on their particular system. But that's at that export credit rate of 9.4 cents. If that drops dramatically, then all of a sudden that investment disappears, and there's no real financial incentive for an individual to get rooftop solar on their home.
Mm-hmm.
And as it stands, does that 9.4 cents per kilowatt hour shift at all or change with, is it tied to utility prices at all, or is that a set rate?
So that's a set rate for this particular period that we're in. So just a little bit of history. Net metering began in Utah around 2008. But after some considerations by the utility and the Public Service Commission, and as that number of rooftop solar customers really exploded, the Public Service Commission opened a proceeding and did some examinations about an analysis about what that credit should be. And that led to what's known as a transition program. So we're currently in a transition program where anybody who signed up for rooftop solar since November 2017 through the end of 2020 will be in that transition program and will be locked in for that 9.4 cents per kilowatt hour. Anybody who signed up before then is at that net metering rate, and anyone who signs up as of January 1st, 2021 will be in this new rate schedule, and we're not sure what that's going to be just yet, but that's really the question.
And that's what's kind of up for discussion now, this new rate schedule.
Exactly.
So tell us kind of what the proposal is from Rocky Mountain Power.
Yes. So the key takeaway from Rocky Mountain Power's proposal to the commission is that 1.5 cents per kilowatt hour export credit rate. So that is an 84% reduction to the current rate, and that's what really craters the investment from a customer standpoint. I mentioned earlier you could earn back that investment at the current rate in about 9 to 12 years. Well, that time frame grows drastically with such a small export credit rate. And additionally, Rocky Mountain Power is asking for a one-time application, a $150 application fee one time, and a $160 customer generation fee. And advocates have also said that this is discriminatory against the rooftop solar class of customers. And there are some other details to their proposal, but that's really the heart of the concern for the solar industry and advocates is that export credit rate.
So this proposal from Rocky Mountain Power, if it went through, would have an enormous effect then, I would guess, on the, you know, rooftop solar, home rooftop solar industry. And tell us about, you know, I guess Rocky Mountain Power's motivation surrounding this.
Well, I mentioned earlier that 2% penetration rate. So Rocky Mountain Power and other large utilities do have a legitimate concern when there is too much rooftop solar on the grid. You know, the grid was originally designed to be centralized. So in Utah, that looks like burning coal down in southern and central Utah and pushing that power up here. But as these new technologies emerge and as the grid changes, we have a more decentralized grid. So power begins flowing both ways and everything's kind of turned on its head. But that their concern for that really comes in at about 10% penetration rate. So we're really far off from that. But Rocky Mountain Power's main argument right now is that rooftop solar customers aren't paying their fair share of the costs to the grid since, you know, your monthly bill with solar is so low. They're saying that other customers are effectively subsidizing rooftop solar customers. And, you know, as advocates, we think they're making a fairly flimsy argument based on a narrow study that they've put forward, a study that's too narrow to adequately assess the value of excess solar energy currently. So that's really the heart of their concern. But, you know, from our perspective, this response is coming from a utility that wants to make the system it doesn't own more expensive for Utah families. So we see Rocky Mountain Power investing in heavily in utility scale renewables and storage projects, and they should be commended for that. But this is a renewable source that they haven't figured out a way to own, so they're pushing back on it like a monopoly would.
Getting back to this 2% of power generation via solar right now, does Rocky Mountain Power have a projection of how that number is going to increase? Do they see it going from 2 to 10% to something that's dramatically, will have even more dramatic impact on them?
Yeah, so the projections on how that rooftop solar class would grow would, of course, depend on the value of the export credit rate.
Right.
So there are different potential outcomes based on that different rate. But since the export credit has been devalued since 2017, we've seen that rate of growth really slow down in that period. So the exponential growth that we were seeing during net metering has already been curtailed, and that's largely due to the decrease in value of the export credit rate. So I can't think of the projections off the top of my head, but we know that curve is really flattening out with the current export credit rate, and with such a low export credit rate going forward, it would certainly drop off.
Right.
If you are just joining us, we're speaking with Noah Materko, Policy Associate with HEAL Utah, about the solar export credit and why Rocky Mountain Power wants to see it decreased by 84%. So, Noah, then what are the next steps in this? Rocky Mountain Power has made their proposal, and now this goes to the Public Service Commission, right?
That is correct. So this whole process, the whole proceeding, you can think of as like a trial. So Rocky Mountain Power has made their proposal, and other intervened parties have made their proposals. So there's Vote Solar, which is a national solar advocate nonprofit group. They conducted their own study and concluded that the value of the export credit rate should be somewhere up near 24 cents per kilowatt hour. And Vivint Solar, which is headquartered in Lehigh, has done their own, and they think that should be close to 10.3 cents. So we're really all over the place with the value of this, of what that export credit rate should be. And the Public Service Commission, the three committee commission members will be making that decision over the coming weeks. So today starts an evidentiary hearing where all of these intervened parties will present verbally their arguments to the Public Service Commission. And this is something that anybody can tune into. So this will be going on for potentially the next 2 weeks. And a really important date coming up is Monday, October 5th. And this is when Utah residents, everyday people, can input their public comment to the commission. So whether you're a solar owner or not, whether you just care about clean energy or consumer choice or anything that really hits home with you, you have the opportunity to tune in and submit a public comment. So that is Monday the 5th, and the deadline to sign up for that is the 30th.
That's tomorrow.
So tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So that's a big one. And then there's also public written public comments that can go into the commission through October 5th. So in previous iterations of this these proceedings with rooftop solar, we've really seen the public input be a huge turning point for the commission and for intervened parties. You know, when hundreds or thousands of people weigh in, that carries a lot of political weight and can move the needle during these proceedings. So we're hoping for a big turnout in the next few days.
Okay. And again, yeah, if you want to submit comments, you have to sign up to submit comments by tomorrow. You can't wait till, you know, Sunday night or Monday morning. You have to sign up by tomorrow to submit comments. I want to circle back to the Public Service Commission. That's a three-person panel, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And who do you know who they are? Do we have, obviously we can go online and find out profiles, but do you have a sense, give us a thumbnail sketch of who these individuals are?
Yeah, so interestingly enough, there's been some musical chairs on the commission since the 2017 proceeding, but now I believe it's the exact same three individuals who were on that proceeding. So these individuals will come from different backgrounds, all obviously energy experts, but they'll try to maintain political independence. So, you're correct. You can go online and learn more about these individuals. In the past, some have had ties to the utility, some have not. So we're really counting on these individuals to take a really good, robust look of the case in front of them and also examine what's happened in similar cases across the country. You know, this isn't the only rooftop solar fight going on, and we've seen some interesting outcomes between the fights between rooftop solar and the utilities, some good, some bad. So it'll be really interesting to see, given the evidence, what they determine is going to happen going forward.
Do you have a sense of which way the commission is leaning?
You know, I don't. And in 2017, the governor's office really stepped forward and made it clear that they wanted to see a program established that was beneficial both for the utility and for the solar industry. And that with a lot of hard work from everybody on both sides led to the settlement that we're in now. So I'm not sure where they are. It's possible that, you know, maybe in the last minute a settlement is reached. So we'll, hopefully, you know, we'll have a better idea at the end of these weeks.
And what is HEAL's specific proposal or recommendation for this conversation?
Yes. So this go around, HEAL's main concerns are obviously in environmental and public health, and that has a lot to do with clean energy. But for something like rooftop solar, the economics are really what's at the heart of the argument for a lot of intervened parties. So this time we're really backing the evidence presented by Vote Solar and by Vivint about the benefits to the grid. So they're recommending those 24 cent per kilowatt hour and 10 cent per kilowatt hour, respectively, credit rates. But basically they're saying this is the evidence about why it should be so high, but really you should just go back to net metering because that's the most fair system that we've been able to establish so far. So we would like to see an increased export credit rate or a return to net metering. How likely a return to net metering is politically, I'm unsure, but I think that would be, if we're going to do this really cut and dry, that would be the most fair resolution, I believe.
And is the Public Service Commission simply giving a thumbs up or thumbs down to Rocky Mountain Power, or is there room for negotiating a middle ground here?
Yeah, there's always room for negotiating a middle ground. Like I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of other things involved besides just the export credit rate. So there's a lot of room for movement. And, you know, ideally, there'd be different principles taken into account that would reach a favorable resolution for the solar industry and, you know, hopefully for the utility too. Like, so it's not going to be a thumbs up or thumbs down. Mm. It's going to be hopefully taking a lot of different components into account and creating a new rate structure that is going to work for the long term, so we're not just kicking the can down the road.
So I'm assuming then the Public Service Commission will hear all these arguments and different positions over these next 2 weeks, and then they will adjourn, and weeks or months from now, they will come up with a decision, and it could be to come up with another set of numbers?
Yeah, so, you know, per the transition agreement, the new rate structure is going to be in place January 1st, 2021. So, you know, that's not that far away, so there's a lot of work to be done between now and then, and, you know, they can make the decision quickly, or it could take a while, but, you know, that's part of the uncertainty for the solar industry is if they can't go to potential customers and say, hey, this is what the value of your investment is starting January 1st, then that creates a lot of uncertainty, and uncertainty in any industry is not good. So hopefully we'll be able to reach a decision sooner rather than later.
And again, speaking of the industry, from the Salt Lake Tribune article this morning, this solar industry or business sector employs about 7,000 people in the state mm-hmm. of Utah. So it's grown, you know, magnitudes over the last 6 or 7 years, and with good reason. There's environmental benefits, there's economic benefits, there's even kind of a libertarian benefit to it, right? People who want to get off the grid and not be beholden to utilities. So there's a number of reasons why that, some of which have conservative angles to them that support solar.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, the number one reason people invest in rooftop solar is for the cost savings. And we see that across the board, the environmental concerns, the energy independence, those are all motivating factors, but economically that those cost savings are the number one reason. So we see people all over the state from all different types of backgrounds investing in rooftop solar. And like you mentioned, going off the grid, if you couple solar with a battery storage system, then the windstorm like we had a couple of weeks ago, the mm-hmm. earthquake in March, all of a sudden you're not without power for days or weeks or so. You have that system set up. And, you know, when you're in a more remote area that's prone to those types of things, that's mm-hmm. really valuable.
Okay. Well, we gotta wrap up. Again, let's give our listeners a sense of, again, how they can go online and attend, you know, quote unquote, attend the meetings and submit comments. Let's go back through that again.
Yes, perfect. So to submit public comments, you want to email psc@utah.gov with the subject docket 17-035-61, and that's the docket number for this case. So email that with your comment, whatever you'd like to be submitted on the record, and that's your written comment. If you would like to submit a verbal comment for the public hearing on October 5th, you need to do that no later than Wednesday, September 30th, which is tomorrow. So same thing, email psc@utah.gov with the subject line request to provide public comment in docket number 17-035-61 in the subject line, and then have your full name in the email. And this is all at healutah.org/solar.
Okay. Good.
If that didn't roll off the tongue, it's healutah.org/solar. Go over there, and we'll have everything you need. Or you can email me at noah@healutah.org, and I'll work you through it.
Perfect.
Fantastic.
Oh, well, we want to thank you for taking the time to help explain this situation and what's coming up. And I will probably loop back with you near the end of the year, obviously when a decision is made, and evaluate its consequences.
Sounds good. I appreciate you having me on today.
All right. Thanks a lot, Noah.
Thanks, Noah.
Noah Materko. He's a policy associate with the Environmental Advocacy Group, Healthy Environment Alliance of Utah, known simply as HEAL Utah. And again, your website, Noah?
HEALUtah.org.
Simple enough. Thanks again, Noah.
All right, take care.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of This Green Earth.
And if you did, we hope you'll take a minute to rate us, share us, and leave a comment.
You can email us your thoughts and ideas for future shows at thisgreenearth@kpcw.org.
Join us next week on This Green Earth.